Blog Talk Radio.
This is a special edition of Ignite Your Life, and we have a very exciting guest all the way from Plymouth, United Kingdom. Her name is Jane Hutton, and we're going to get to her here in just a second, but let me give you out the phone number. And my name is Michael Brooks, by the way. I am your host for today and the founder of the Coach on Fire Radio Network, and you can find out about all of our hosts on the Coach on Fire Radio Network at facebook.com/CoachOnFireRadio, or just hashtag Coach on Fire Radio. The phone number for today's show is 646-716-7979, and I would love to hear from you. And I know that our guest is going to be sharing all sorts of interesting nutrition and food recipes and things like that. So if you would like to talk to Jane.
Hi, Michael. Great to be here. Well, it is a little challenging. It sounds like you're sort of jumping here and there, but we're okay at the moment, so we'll definitely do our best.
Okay, we'll try to get through it, and we'll figure out what's going on with your setup after the show. But if you need me to repeat a question, or you're not hearing me quite right, just simply let me know, and we'll repeat the question until you have it down, and then you can answer. How does that sound?
Onwards and upwards, we'll do our best, and both of us are very good, I'm sure, at handling things as they happen. So,
yeah, no weather issues in the UK today. It's nice and sunny and warm.
No, it's absolutely fine, actually. Yeah, it's really it's been good today. So who knows? Who knows? There could be some big storm somewhere over the ocean that's breaking it up. You can never tell, can you?
Maybe, the east coast of the United States has been getting hammered with a big storm, and they're just now like gorgeous. So, Jane, you are known as the functional foodie. You are a nutritionist, and you have a mission to help people with daily health care through food, and that's quite intriguing to me. So why don't we start a little bit with what you do, and tell us a little bit about your story, because you've got a fascinating story on how you have overcome a lot of things in your life simply through great and delicious food.
Yeah, okay. Well, it is a lifelong story, really, and what I find amazing is that people so often don't connect their health and how they feel, even emotionally, with what they're eating and drinking every day. We put the right fuel in our cars. We put the right oil in our engines. We give our pets the right food. But so often we don't think about what we're putting in our own mouths. And I was lucky enough to grow up in Cornwall, magical Cornwall, and a small holding. You know, we had a huge sort of kitchen garden. We had chickens, we had geese, we went to get our own eggs, and I had this very idyllic upbringing, and my mum cooked everything from scratch, and I learned to cook from probably being old enough to hold a wooden spoon. Started off really as a bit of a pastry chef, making cakes for tea time on a Sunday. Very British, yes, lovely, tea at 4 o'clock and some wonderful cakes to have with it, so that's how I started cooking, but it was wonderful, and That's my heritage, actually, just eating real food. You know where it came from. My mother refused to eat anything processed. You know, when I was growing up, I mean, you probably remember, we had spreads suddenly appear in tubs, and all these convenience meals and things started to get packaged, and how much quicker and how much easier, and oh, how fantastic. Save you time, save you effort. But I think, I don't think it's any favors, and it's time to get back to actually looking at what we're doing to our bodies and realizing that our bodies are not made to deal with these chemicals. And a lot of the food we're eating is stripped of the nutrients that our bodies actually need. There's plenty of nutrients we don't even know what they do yet. They've not even been discovered. So who knows what you're missing if you're not eating that real food and you're eating processed food or taking supplements. You're not getting a lot of things. So I lost touch with that a little bit when life became very stressful. I had a very stressful job. I had a stressful family issues going on, just almost like a perfect storm of lots of different things. And I was sort of quite young. And there were periods where, in I think any situation, there are lots of women who perhaps are divorced, raising children on their own. You know, they're working very hard. I was a teacher, which is an incredibly job anyway. I became ill. I developed chronic fatigue and breast cancer. And although, you know, I knew everything about real food, I've just become so stressed. And I ate good food, but I've become so stressed and so overwhelmed that this happened to me. And so I reconnected with everything I knew in my cooking history, if you like, my upbringing. And I went to study functional medicine and nutritional medicine and really bring those things together. So it's not just about supplements. It's not about nutritional therapy as such. It's about realizing that we need to eat real food every day to nourish our bodies and our brains every day to stay well. And the only way to do that is to source our food from small local producers, maybe, that aren't spraying lots of pesticides, not doing all of those terrible things. So you cut contamination, and you do have to organise and shop and cook, but you have this delicious food, and you're giving your children life skills. And we've got a whole generation, I think, that needs to start from the beginning again and start realising that that's what we need to do. And it's delicious, and it's creative, and it's fun, and it doesn't have to be hard work if you've got the recipes and just some very basic skills. So that's what I do as a functional foodie, is I'm looking at holistic functional nutrition and how our bodies work with nutrients, but actually giving the body everything it needs through real food and recipe development, and giving people recipes and giving them all the tools they need, really, to go out and do it and enjoy it. You know, I have clients come to me who are very, very sick. And by the time I've sort of coached them into this really just a very normal kind of gradual change of small changes, which bring them into alignment with this sort of philosophy. And they never go back. They will find that they will go and eat processed food and they will feel horrible. And they actually enjoy Sunday afternoon cooking with the children and prepping some meals ahead for the week if they're out working and busy. So yeah, it's about actually glorious food, and that's one of life's great pleasures. So we so often show our love through food, but we should be showing love to ourselves as well by eating properly. So there you go.
Very, very intriguing, Jane. And let's focus a little bit on...
Well, you know, cancer diagnosis is terrifying. You know, even that is a total understatement. I don't think anybody can really understand if they've sort of been in that position. And certainly I will never, ever forget ever having to tell my son that I had cancer and seeing his devastation. And, you know, my parents, my brother, it was really awful. And I was diagnosed with breast cancer just as I was coming out of chronic fatigue. So a lot of people have diagnosis of chronic fatigue syndrome. We also call it ME over here in the UK. It's been called, I think when it was first discovered, it was called yuppie flu. I mean, the Epstein-Barr, it's got tons of different names, but a very similar kind of effect, really, is this complete exhaustion and collapse. And people suffer from it for years. But for me, it's like, you know, look in the mirror and think, well, come on, you know what to do. So to do it. So I kind of did it. And along the way, I developed a diet that helps in the recovery of chronic fatigue very quickly. I was really back on feet within 6 months, which is pretty extraordinary. And it just shows the power of food, actually, and nourishing ourselves properly. And also, not just what you put in your body, what you don't put in your body as well is really, really important. And then, of course, the cancer diagnosis. And it was, I think the most interesting thing was I sailed through the surgery, I sailed through the recovery, radiotherapy, all of the treatment. Very, very, and I did choose to have the treatment. There were some people saying, well, one person actually commented, well, you shouldn't get sick if you're a nutritionist, should you? And I thought, well, with genetics and stress and all these other factors that cause cancer, you can do everything or not, but it doesn't protect you either way. But you're better off protecting yourself, obviously. I was able to really sort of sail through it all, which was great. But what was interesting is when they actually take out the tumour and they give you an appointment and tell you what they found, really, because there's other treatments after that. The surgeon was kind of a bit baffled, and he sort of said, well, it's really clear that this has been growing on and off probably for a long time, and I don't understand why it started and stopped. I can't understand why it's not travelled to your lymph nodes. I can't understand why your nodes are clear. So you don't need chemotherapy, you know, you don't. He was just a bit baffled, and I thought, well, I know, because everything he was telling me was actually coinciding with times where it was growing when the stress was overwhelming. And when the stress wasn't overwhelming, I might still be stressed, but my body was, because of how I eat anyway, it was controlling things, and nothing had spread, and I was absolutely fine and sailed through my recovery process and sort of stayed well. To this day, vibrantly well. So what I'm hoping to do, and my whole mission is to sort of say, well, look, come on, let's get back to real food, because I don't want this to happen to other people. They don't even know what I know. So I coach people all the time who are going through absolutely devastating ill health. And once they actually start to feed their bodies properly and take, you know, themselves away from the stressful situations as far as they can, they do actually get well very quickly, and they stay well, because bodies need what they need. And certainly with stress, I think they do sort of say, I think in this country the research is that 95% of all disease has stress as a factor, not necessarily the cause, but a factor. So it's devastating for our bodies, absolutely.
You mentioned, Jane, that your doctors kind of marveled at your recovery and your progress. Do you find that the traditional medicine?
That's a really loaded question, isn't it, Michael? Really?
That's me, Jane.
Oh God, who knows? Going to ask me now? Oh dear. Well, my view is, I mean, medical progress is amazing. Doctors are amazing. Oncologists are amazing. There are a lot of drugs that are amazing. There's a lot of drugs and things that are not so amazing. And there's no black and white answer to that, because I work hand in hand with people's consultants and their doctors all the time. I've had a client with ulcerative colitis, and she, you know, severe ulcerative colitis, and she took my plan and everything to her consultant, to her doctor, who's a fairly top flight doctor, and sort of I was expecting them to go, oh, what rubbish, who's got anything to do with it? And she went, brilliant. So I thought, oh, really? There are a lot more doctors who are turned on to the fact that diet is key, and I think there's a lot of research now coming out that diet is the key to everything. Drugs will basically put a plaster on symptoms. They won't address the root cause necessarily, and it's always the root cause that you've got to address. And there's a lot of money in drugs and pharmaceuticals, but I will never interfere with a patient's or a client's medical care. I will work hand in hand with doctors and hope that they support their clients or support their patient in their wish to actually get their health sorted out with you know, what they're eating every day. And it's becoming, you know, it's pretty obvious that health has declined as convenience foods have come on the market. As our diets have changed, our health has got worse, conditions have got worse, and we're now, certainly in the UK with the National Health Service, is just under such strain, it's really crippled by things like diabetes and obesity and, you know, a lot of conditions which are directly related to people's diets, without any doubt. Diabetes could be reversed in many cases. You know, lots and lots of mental health conditions arise because of people's diets and the things that they're not eating and the things that they are eating. So I always like to work hand in hand with doctors. But I would say to anybody, you know, I'm waiting for the day when if you go to see your doctor, the first thing they do is refer you to a functional nutritionist to look at your food and then see what else you need on top of that. Because some people do need other help on top of that. Food is not the answer for everybody 100% of the time. In the same way that, yes, I did my absolute best with food, but I cooperated with my oncologist and my treatment. Partly because I'm a mother, you know, and I was not prepared to take any risks. I'm not somebody who's going to necessarily sort of say, well, look, it's all a conspiracy. Everything the medical profession does is bad. Every drug is bad. Don't do this and don't do that. Because I find that this conspiracy theory stuff very, very misleading. And people do tend to want magic bullets and they jump onto bandwagons and it's not helpful. We need to just get back to more considered middle road of taking care, really good care of ourselves with natural, real food. And should we need any medical intervention on top of that, then so be it, because there's other things involved in everybody's biochemistry and everyone's unique. So I can't slate the medical profession. I'm not going to. There's a lot of wonderful people, but they have only a few hours of medical training in food training in 7 years of medical training. But some educate themselves, and they are very appreciative of the fact that what you eat is really, really important. But no, they're not functional nutritionists.
So. Right, and that was what I was getting at. You know, the immense amount of training that they go through, very, very little of it is dealing with nutrition, at least in the United States, and obviously Great Britain as well. Having said that, those two countries probably have the best, you know, doctors in the world at the same time. Yet even they are not trained superbly in functional food and nutrition. So, and that's where someone like you comes in. And before we get to the next question, Jane, let me say that you are listening to Ignite Your Life. I am Michael Brooks, and I am speaking with the terrific...
Well, I normally say, okay, well, I'll see you in about a year then when you're really, really sick. Definitely. The first thing I say is, okay, well, if you haven't got time to cook, in a minute, when you're sick, you're not going to have time to do anything else, whether it's work or whether it's have fun. You know, that's what I tend to say to people who say I'm too busy. I mean, you know, I've been on my own for years, raising my family, working, doing it all. And, you know, I'm the classic example of somebody who is juggling everything and could quite easily, I suppose, turning to convenience food. But what I generally say when I'm coaching people, and obviously I do coach people in how to sort of achieve this nirvana that I live in, it's basically a case of saying, well, look, you don't spend 3 or 4 hours a day. You might actually just have to sit and think about what you're going to eat for the week and look ahead at your calendar and think, okay, well, that's going to be a really busy week. So if I kind of make that salad, I've got 3 days of lunches. If I do this, I've got this, I've this. You know, you might prep things ahead. You might put things in the freezer. If it's a rainy weekend, you might spend it cooking and freezing favorite meals for the family. Chicken and chorizo, casserole, fantastic, beautiful. Very, very quick and easy. You put it, throw it in a pan, you put it in the oven for 30 minutes. You go off and do something else, go and have a shower, and it's done. you know, it doesn't have to be hard. It doesn't have to be time consuming. Once you've got the recipes and a few skills about how to put things together, you know, when I go shopping, I always have pepper nero and mushrooms and sort of creme fraiche and some really good sourdough bread, because I know that if I'm really, really pushed, in 10 minutes, I can whip up an amazing sort of greens and mushrooms, bound in creme fraiche, some herbs on toast. And that is so nutritious, and it takes 10 minutes. So I think it's an excuse generally. You know, people need to realize if they don't take care of themselves, they are just basically an accident waiting to happen. So fine, if that's what people want to do. But, you know, I've got a lot of my recipe development is sort of out there. It's on blogs. It's on my Facebook page. I'm always putting up recipes and actually telling people, you know, here's this food. It's in season. This is why it's good for you. This is what it does for your body. And by the way, here's a recipe. Go and cook it. And I don't believe you can say to people, you should eat real food, without giving them the tools to do it. And that's what I want to do. That's what I'm trying to do, is like go the whole nine yards, you know. Right, here's the recipe. Short of going to do their shopping for them and cooking it for them, I give them everything else. So I think that's the way to do it. But you can't, you know, you can lead a horse to water. If you can make it float on its back, you've got something. I think that's really sort of the adage, isn't it, you know? Was that nutrients, reduces nutrients freezing?
Well, if you're freezing a meal that you've created earlier to have later, does freezing then reduce the nutrients once it's thawed and you're ready to eat it?
I think, you know, if you're cooking something, if you've bought the ingredients fresh, so it's been me going out into my garden where I've got my little modest veg patch. If I pick something and I cook it and I eat it, I'm going to get the real HD Technicolor on, you know. If you cook, the more you cook something, you're going to impact on the nutrients. Freezing actually captures nutrients far better than if you made it and left it sitting in the pot for 2 or 3 days. You know, like if you make a stew and then you keep it in the pot and you eat it over 2 or 3 days and you just keep on reheating it, and it's sitting there, that will cause some depletion, a little bit. If you were to make it and then freeze portions and then gradually heat it, no, not so much. And in fact, if you, some foods like blueberries, for instance, blueberries have more nutrients frozen than fresh. So if you're going to go and buy blueberries, you're much better off buying frozen blueberries if you're going to use it in a compote, because obviously frozen fruit, when it's defrosted, can lose some of its firmness. If that doesn't matter to you, you're getting more nutrients from frozen blueberries and frozen peas and these kind of things than you are fresh, because they've been sitting around for a long time. And this is the other reason why you need to find a local farmer's market, if you can, and try and buy really freshly picked fruit and veg, especially when it's, you know, it hasn't been sprayed to all hell with Roundup or, you know, pesticides, because that's a whole show in itself. I'll probably do. Is why what happens with pesticides in your body, you know? It's fine. It's a good way. Certainly, you're going to get far more nutrients from cooking ahead and freezing meals and then defrosting them as you need them than you are eating processed food. So it does have a slight impact, but not very much.
Gotcha.
Definitely.
So in effect, you could spend a day on Saturday or Sunday cooking your meals for the week, and you would freeze them, and you're really not going to have any loss whatsoever, and that would save time during the work week.
Absolutely. And I think every family or every person has their favorites. I know that it's amazing how many people, the chicken and chorizo sort of almost like tray bake recipe, people, that seems to be the favorite amongst almost all my clients and all the people who look at my recipes, sort of say, oh, my kids love that, and you know, it's so quick, and we change it. Sometimes we'll put in green olives and sometimes we'll put in black olives, and I want people to go out and adapt and experiment and, you know, find their family favorites. And my go-to quick meal is, you know, cavolo nero mushrooms in creme fraiche on some toast. You know, that's because I love it. It's delicious. It makes me feel good. Everyone has the things that make them feel good, definitely, and they should find those recipes. I do a lot of recipe development. I produce a lot of recipes and I post them, but everyone is, their tastes are so different. They've got to find what they like. And yeah, you know, certain salads and meals can be cooked ahead and frozen or used, and fantastic. There's really sort of very little excuse for those who want to stay healthy. And certainly, why would they not? Why would you not want your children to have the skills to live a long life? We're now at a place where this is the first generation that is not going to live as long as we will. This current generation of children, their life expectancy is lower than ours. And that should make everybody sit up and take notice.
So, that is pretty amazing. I saw that statistic the other day myself. That is very, very hard to believe. And given all of the technology, all of the improvements in healthcare, and you have to wonder how that can be. And you may have hit on something, but I think you probably have, Jane, and that a lot of it is going to boil down to nutrition.
So, it is. Yeah. What do you call it? Healthcare? Or do we?
Yeah, exactly. Do we call and I love the way you put that, you know, where, you know, food is daily healthcare. It's a way that I've never seen it put before, but I really love that. So congratulations on that. Shopping is another issue. You mentioned farmers markets, which, you know, are great here. We have several of them here in Boise all year round, and they sell organic things and fresh vegetables, and they're generally, and it was with a pet toy. And I'm thinking, and I'm kind of laughing at this, and I'm going, and you were just raving about this basic salad that you made by steaming the pak choi, and I'm going, where the heck would you even find pak choi?
Don't you have it over there? We have it in all our supermarkets. It's just like an Asian version of
burger,
isn't it, really?
I am a grocery shopping, let's just say I'm challenged in the grocery store. Where in the heck would you even find it? I assume on the outside, in the vegetable section somewhere.
Well, I think they call it bok choy over in the States.
Oh, do they? Okay.
I think it's the same thing. If you get choy sum, that's almost like a slightly longer, leafier Chinese kind of version of spinach. And I mean, you've got a big Asian community in the States, and you're very exotic. I can't think that you wouldn't be able to find pak choy, but I think it's probably called bok choy, and you probably find it. I'd go and ask a grocery assistant. Yeah, no, it's very easy to get hold of. And it's very mild, and you can have these wonderful warming dressings with it, and it's just why I post those, because you think, well, people don't know that that's got that nutrient. You know, if you eat it could reduce inflammation and help arthritis, or it can calm your stomach, or it can do this, or it can do that. So people have got to know, they've got to understand what food actually is doing for their bodies. And I don't believe in just sort of preaching at people and expect them to follow like sheep. I expect people to sort of think, well, okay, I need to know why that's good for me, and I'll tell them why. And everything, I would love to see you go out and eat your way around the supermarket and just sort of try everything and find something to do. That could be quite a good game with your kids. Let's find three red things this time, and let's make a recipe. Let's do something with it. You know, that's how you kind of, especially get children involved. That's how you really get the skills going, because children absolutely love cooking and chopping and preparing and tasting.
Sure,
it's just great. They love it.
Absolutely. What do you? And by the way, I think probably most of our listeners, if not most of the people in the United States, are not as grocery challenged as I am. So people may very well know what pak choy is. I was just smiling. Uh-huh. Like, where the heck would I find pak choy? And as you were posting that recipe there. Jane, you have a very exciting week, because you have a brand new radio show on the Coach on Fire Radio Network, starting and premiering this Wednesday. So why don't you tell us a little bit about what's going to be coming up, not only on your first show, but in the coming weeks through that radio.
Oh, well, I mean,
And give us a day and a time, and what you're going to be doing on the first show, and throughout your tenure with your radio show.
Yeah, well, I'm calling it Inside a Secret for the functional foodie, because, you know, there's a lot of stuff that I know, and it's sometimes it's quite small little hints and tips and things. And my whole philosophy is making things easy and actionable for people, you know. So we're going to call it Insider Secrets, and every time I do the show, every fortnight, I'm going to start by talking about the health focus, the functional foodie focus for that particular kind of like a week, because every day there's research coming, every day there's something in the press about health and food. So, you know, I don't know whether the same things come up in the States as they do in the UK, but I'm gonna talk about something topical that I've seen, and I'm gonna cut through the confusion really, and sometimes give people the truth, because I've been doing this for 20 years. I get absolutely fed up with seeing all the fads and all the different sort of, you know, magic bullets and everything else. I'm just trying to say, come on, calm down, people. Let's just get back to reality. And I'll be cutting through any BS, any rubbish that I see, telling people what the truth is. That's at the start. And in the middle section, I've got some brilliant guests that I'm really dying to interview, who are really leading in some sort of part of health to do with nutrition, because for me it's holistic, so it's about mind, body and spirit, but especially mental health and how our emotions impact on our food choices, emotionally, comfort eating, stress, depression, all of these kind of things where food has a part to play, chronic fatigue. I'll be getting people in, and then at the end I will obviously be talking about a particular seasonal recipe or food and telling people where they can actually go and find that recipe. But on Wednesday, because it's my first one and I just want to sort of get to grips with things, I'm going to be really looking at that, the January thing, and how people can really make themselves healthier today. You know, there's two or three mistakes that people make with their food choices every day, which are having a huge impact on their energy, on their stress levels and on their health. And I want to just clear those up and tell people exactly what they are and exactly how they can very, very easily change those things around and start to feel better. And hopefully people start to feel better, they'll start to do a bit more and do a bit more cooking and everything else. And I'd love to hear from anyone too, and if they have any comments as well.
Awesome, Jane. And that starts on Wednesday. And what time is that show? A UK time? And then we can back that
up. UK time, is it 11? I think it's 11 UK time. Is that 6 o'clock?
Yeah,
I'm not sure about the time zone. 6 p.m.
Yeah, I think 11 is 7 Eastern and 5 where I am, Mountain Time, 4 Pacific,
yeah.
Central. So in the evening, and prime 4 minutes left in the show, and this is Ignite Your Life with Michael Brooks, and I am speaking to my special guest, Jane Hudson, out of Plymouth, UK. She is a nutritionist and a functional foodie, and she believes that you can have daily health care through not only just food, but delicious and glorious food. Again, the phone number to call in if you would like to ask Jane a question, 646-716-7979. And if you would like to find out more about Jane, myself, or all of our hosts on the Coach on Fire radio network, you can visit our Facebook fan page, and we would be honored if you like it, at facebook.com/CoachOnFireRadio. And that's hashtag Coach on Fire Radio. Jane, what about desserts? Ice cream and cookies and things like that. Obviously, they are sugar laden.
Well, I mean, my whole philosophy is about balance. So, I mean, if you're trying to eat dessert every day, you're probably going to put weight on, you know, unless it's fruit. You know, fruit with some natural yogurt, cinnamon on the top, some toasted nuts and seeds. If you develop your cooking skills and these little touches and twists can make even just fruit and yogurt absolutely delicious. And, you know, if you have an overly sweet tooth, you kind of need to train yourself out of that, because we know that the people are addicted to sugar, and actually their taste buds are turned up so high on the sweetness scale that that's where they have a problem, until they can actually notch down their taste buds, a bit like people give up smoking and their sense of taste returns and their sense of smell returns. Once you start to eat real food, and of course anybody working with me, I'll give them a sort of like an initial plan, so the meals are set out, shopping lists and so on, and it doesn't take long and your taste buds start to sort of rejig, and you find that if it's just fruit, I mean, what can be more beautiful than some fresh strawberries, you know, dipped in some sort of lovely yogurt or whatever. But I mean, let's face it, if you've got a birthday, if you're going out, you're on holiday and you want to have dessert. I think deprivation is bad, because if you think you can't have something, you want it more. And certainly in terms of obesity, and people actually controlling their weight. You know, I think you've just got to have a balanced life for living and food, and we should enjoy it. But you can actually make some incredibly beautiful chocolate mousses with avocados and raw cacao powder, and it's not horrible, and it's certainly not sweet. I started off making cakes when I was growing up, and some of my recipe development will be actually to make cakes healthier by replacing, replacing the butter or spread with something like organic rapeseed oil, which gives you omega-3 to help your brain function, to help your skin, and to help all your other functions. So there's a carrot on my blog on the Trinity Holistic site, there's a carrot and walnut cake there, which is actually a healthy version of a cake. It's been approved by children who said my niece doesn't like carrot cake, so it's the best best cake she's ever had, I think she said. So that was good.
Awesome.
I've got a blueberry cake on there as well. But sometimes, you know, it's about thinking, do you want to have cake or dessert occasionally? Have it. If you can learn how to make desserts healthier, and let's face it, raw chocolate is one of the healthiest things you can have, especially if you're a woman over 40. If you're a woman over 40, you should be eating proper chocolate every single day. So,
I'm a man over 40 too, because I absolutely love chocolate.
Well, I need to change my recipe, don't I, for the mock chocolate mousse.
give me that recipe for sure. Jane, there's also other ways besides over and above your radio show starting on Wednesday at 7 Eastern on the Coach on Fire Radio Network. How can people, give us your website and how they can contact you if they want to work with you or learn more about you?
Well, I have my current site is sort of my sort of therapist site, if you like, because I've been working obviously one-to-one with people, and that's www.trinityholistics.co.uk. But it's in February, the Functional Foodie website launches, and that is going to be a massive recipe hub, and it's going to have courses on there in how to recover from breast cancer, how to eat clean, how to recover from chronic fatigue, and it's also going to have a membership site there. Members get a lot of extra recipes, and they have extra sort of health focus every month. So they have content every month. So that's launching, and that'll be www.functional-foodie.com. All those details, I'm guessing, I'll certainly be posting about it on my Facebook page, The Functional Foodie at Trinity Holistics on Facebook, the Trinity Holistics site. So yeah, definitely. If anybody wants the pak choi recipe, that's on my Facebook page and on my blog. And if you go back through my blog on the website, Trinity Holistics site, you will find the carrot and walnut cake, the omega cake. You'll find the blueberry cake. The chocolate mousse isn't there because that's been for my private coaching clients. But Michael, you can definitely have it, and I'll be putting it on a functional foodie recipe hub.
That would be absolutely. Honored to have that recipe, Jane. I know, is there something you can, it's more difficult to do here on the radio? And by the way, this is not public yet, but we are starting a Coach on Fire television network. And Jane, I think you're actually going to experiment with doing recipes live on the air. So that'll be really cool as well.
Well, I hope so. Yes, I like to try. I have to get my son involved as well. He can be the cameraman. So definitely try and do that. I might borrow my mum's kitchen, though. She's got much better TV-friendly kitchen, I think. So we'll see what we can do.
There you go. That will be a lot of fun. Is there some sort of, other than what you have posted all over the place, is there some sort of quick recipe you can give our listeners right now in just a couple of minutes that would be delicious and healthy at the same time?
Well, I mean, certainly the pak choi is very, very quick, because all you have is pak choi and you have the dressing, don't you? So... Uh-huh. Look, for one person, this is why I posted it, because I was doing a lot of work and I really, really needed something quick and easy and very, very light. And we might be in the winter and I've got roaring fires going, everything else, but I want something that nourished me, made me feel really, really good. The warmth of chili, the warmth of ginger. So all you have to do really is, if you want the recipe, obviously go to the Facebook or the blog, but I'm going to go through it now very quickly because it's very quick. Literally, you have to just take a couple of pak choy or bok choy, as you'll probably find in the States, and cut it into quarters. I'll have to give it a quick wash, of course. Put them in a little steamer, or even have a colander over, you know, over some boiling water. You don't have to steam it, but obviously it's better if you can. And when you want to, while that's steaming, you just make the dressing. So you get a small piece of root ginger, and you just split, and you finely chop it as fine as you can, because you're going to obviously biting into these pieces of ginger. You might want to mince it up instead, possibly. Bit of chili, green or red, strong as you like it. Again, very, very finely chopped. Tablespoon of balsamic vinegar, 3 tablespoons of olive oil or rapeseed oil, depends on which you want to use and what you've got. You can put in a tablespoon of some fresh chopped chives, quite nice to give that kind of oniony flavour, which is really, really nice, because the dressing's not strong, but it's good because pak choy is so mild. So you mix all the dressing up, and when you've steamed the pak choy for literally a few minutes, you just put the dressing over the top of the pak choy, and that's it. Eat. 5 minutes.
Nice. Yeah. 5 minutes. A 5 minute recipe. That is my kind of recipe to
5 minutes.
I love that. And that's why I like that recipe when I read it. And then, you know, the only challenge for me was, where the heck do you find pak choy? And now that I know, I will definitely try that recipe, Jane. And this coming towards the end of the show here, and this is usually my favorite part of the show, because I get to ask you all sorts of fun questions that you have no idea what's coming. Jane in general, so we can get to know you. And my first question is,
last year, do you know what? I'm a big fan of Marvel movies. I'm not a chick flick person at all. I love the escapism of, you know, a good old X-Men or something like that. So I'm a bit, obviously with my son being in films, I'm a big film fan, a big arty sort of filmy family. So we always love our movies. But my favourite last, I don't know if it's last year or before. What's the Avengers one? Probably the Avengers one that was last year. That was quite good, wasn't it?
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's very good.
Yeah. Anything Marvel-like is really cool.
The best piece of advice that you have ever received, from whom did you receive it, and how has it impacted your life?
Best piece of advice. Do you know what? This is very, it's quite poignant, really, but one of the things that stick in my mind, besides my grandmother, who was a source of mass inspiration to me, and my granddad, who said wonderful things like, be yourself and, you know, just go for your dreams and all this kind of stuff. When I was diagnosed with the cancer and I went and spoke to my mum and I told her that I'd been diagnosed with cancer, she said to me, something good will come from this. Which was basically just saying, you know, whatever happens, positive thinking, look on the bright side, because even if you, what looks like a disaster can be an opportunity for something positive to come out of it. And actually, you know, being able to develop the knowledge and experience of cancer recovery and be able to share that with other people, hopefully help them, that's a pretty positive outcome to what is basically at the time a death sentence. So yeah, I think I'd probably say that.
Oh, absolutely poignant, and great advice. I see so many people that have come through.
Oh gosh. That's a really hard one, actually. Celebrity crush. Is it going to be like the unexpected one or the expected kind of one? Because sometimes you have the celebrity crushes that are like, you know, somebody you think, I can't explain it. We've had a very, very famous and very, very talented actor, Alan Rickman. He's Snape in the Harry Potter films.
Uh-huh.
Professor Snape, if you saw Harry Potter.
Okay.
He died recently. The same.
Right.
We had, obviously, terrible, didn't we, in a week. We had David Bowie. We had Alan Rickman. We had suddenly all these people being taken in this sort of week in January. So what on earth is going on? He was probably an unexpected kind of crush because he's not your average heartthrob. but there's just something about him, I think. So we'll say Alan Rickman, a tribute to everything he gave to the acting world, definitely.
Awesome. That was not the usual answer I'm expecting from Owens, usually someone like Brad Pitt, Matthew McConaughey.
Well, I did the crush on them. I just said.
Okay.
I'll give you the unexpected one.
You can have more than one celebrity crush. Very cool. Very, very cool. Best book you've read in the last 6 months, and give a quick summary in one or two sentences on what it was about and why you liked it.
Best book I've read? Oh, gosh, I read so many. I cannot go to sleep at night without reading. I've always got to, sort of takes you out of the day, doesn't it, and just puts you in another world. But I've read so many. And again, because I actually studied English and American literature at university, that was my first degree was to major in English and American literature. So I think because I had to read so much classic literature, I tend to read quite trash now. Or cookbooks, actually. Cookbooks or, you know, trashy kind of, you know, almost Da Vinci Code type books. So I couldn't probably tell you, except I can tell you one of the best books that I read in the last 6 months was probably one of James Martin's cookbooks. And he's a very kind of well-known chef over here. So it's not going to mean much to anybody outside the UK. But James Martin's book, his latest book, which is about British cooking, probably the one that I really, really just sort of, you know, when you want to really hunker down with some coffee and just lose yourself. Apart from they're all trashy ones. I can't remember. I just go from one to the other.
Because I think the first person that's ever said a cookbook is one of their favorite books that they've read over the last year.
Oh, yeah.
What would you say is the best motivational book that you've ever read?
Motivational book. I don't suppose I read a lot of motivational books. I read a lot of articles, I suppose, online.
Okay.
I suppose my favorite motivational author or person to watch, I probably do the motivational stuff more, you know, you see the videos. Which is kind of similar, isn't it? Can we take a bit of a...
Sure.
I'm not your most straightforward viewee here, am I? I'm really throwing you right out the window. it's probably Gary... Oh, what's he called? Vaynerchuk? I can never get his last name right.
Gary Vaynerchuk, yeah.
Yeah, he's just amazing. And I do watch his motivational videos quite a lot, especially if I need an injection of motivation at any point. You know, if I'm just thinking I've got to clone myself times two, oh, whose bright idea was this? So, you know, this kind of thing. We all have those days, don't we? I think, oh, God. Yeah. So he's really sort of just completely all about going for it, isn't he? And just what are you waiting for? You know, seize the day, a bit of carpe diem, which we all love, definitely.
Absolutely. And who is the one person that has impacted your life the most and why?
Oh. I'm going to have to make that a two people. That's my grandparents, my nan and granddad.
Okay.
I mean, besides my parents.
Very cool.
Who I adore, absolutely, obviously adore my parents and my family is incredibly important to me. They were just always there, and I sort of feel like they still are here, still cheering me on. And they were in the military, so they were a huge part of my stability growing up, and they were just unconditional love of and wisdom of the highest order. And my granddad especially was amazing and fantastic sense of humor. And when he died, we found that he had dispatches, mentions, and all these things for bravery in World War II that we hadn't even known existed, because to him, you just did what you did for people and you put people first, and that's what you did. And that was how he lived his entire life. So they were both massive inspiration to me.
Absolutely awesome. And one final question before we close out, Jane. Where is the most, or your favorite place you've ever visited outside of the UK?
Ah, well, again, you know, you're asking me to pick out one thing I love so much. I love all of America. I'm just going to have to say just the US because I spent 3 years growing up in Virginia Beach when I was seven and ten, which I love. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I brought my son over to New York, to Florida, to Miami, to LA, and I've loved all of them. They're all different. And I want to go back and revisit all my old haunts. So we visited when I was growing up in the US, you know, Williamsburg and Rocky Mountains and Shenandoah and, you know, all these places. And I want to do my brother's 2017 is driving across the States as he did when he was 21 with his then girlfriend, who's now his wife, and my two nieces. So they want to go and see the eclipse in the Rockies. Is it the Rockies? The eclipse going to be seen, isn't it? In 2017.
Right now.
Yeah. So we're planning to hopefully join him.
Right.
Nice.
All right, Jane. Well, I am thrilled to have you on the Coach on Fire Radio Network and have been honored to have you as my guest on Ignite Your Life today. So any final thoughts before we close out the show here? And don't forget, everyone, Jane's premier show on the Coach on Fire Radio Network. And the name of your show again, Jane, is?
Insider Secrets with a Functional Foodie.
Insider Secrets with a Functional Foodie. And that will premiere at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, USA, on Wednesday. And I'm very, very excited to listen to your first show, Jane. And just absolutely thrilled to be working with you. So, final thoughts before we close out.
Well, I don't know where the last one was shot by. So it's luckily the technology held, and yeah, I'm really, really thrilled to be on the team, and really can't wait to start just getting out there. And even if one person who listens tries the recipe, gets back to real food, rediscovers something that they love, then it's all worthwhile. So yeah, I'm really, really looking forward to it.
Great. And awesome, Jane. Thank you very much for being on the show.
Thank you.
One promo for tomorrow. We have at 2 p.m. Eastern Time on Tuesday, Jessica Aaronworth with Brain Healthy. And Jessica's guest will be the amazing Pamela Carpenter, who is the person behind the phenomenally successful website Rescue. And Pam's a techie, and she really knows her stuff with WordPress. So if you've been struggling with WordPress, or you're just starting a WordPress site, Jane, we ran out of time for you because we had such an awesome guest in Jane Hutton out of Plymouth, UK. Again, don't forget her show, The Insider Secrets with a Functional Foodie, on Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern. And thanks again, everyone. And until next time, be great.